with God's help this afternoon, I'd like to ask to turn to Book of James, chapter 3.
Nađena je iz Jakovljeva treća glava da se pročita sa Božjom pomoću.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, and if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven with fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and every bird and of serpents and of things in the sea and is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either the vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace.
Lord God, our Father who art in heaven, we kneel before thee as we have assembled together in this afternoon, this day which thou hast blessed us with, O Lord. As the heat comes down upon us, O Lord, on this hot summer day, O Lord, we pray that the fire of thy love would also heat our souls and that we would, Lord, feel the presence of thee as we worship together, as we lift up thy name, and as we read thy word. O Lord, the warnings in this afternoon are so clear, the warnings of an unruly tongue. We know, Lord, that as we age, that many sins will fall by the wayside. O Lord, but the tongue is something that can only intensify, cannot be tamed, we are told, O Lord, unless it comes from divine assistance and power from thee. And Lord, this is the submission, as we submit ourselves unto thee, O Lord, and give thee our all, that thou, Lord Jesus, would be the one whom we are subject to in all things. Thou art the one who are able to guide us through this world that we claim is not our home, and yet we make ourselves so cozy in. Oh Lord, help us to recognize the perils that are all around us. Help us to recognize the peril that is in our own mouths. For Lord, we are clearly instructed that a fountain cannot bring forth bitter and sweet at the same time. Lord, mankind cannot use his tongue for evil and yet worship the Creator. So we pray, Heavenly Father, that these words would truly touch each of our hearts and cause ourselves to look into how we worship thee and what we do and how we act. We pray, Heavenly Father, that this afternoon as we have come together, that each of us would be attentive to the Spirit as thou, Lord, will instruct us in these truths that are before us, that thou, Lord Jesus, would speak plainly to each of our hearts, that this chapter would not be one that we would deflect over to our neighbors, but apply it to our own lives. Lord, we thank thee for thy word and the message that is found in thy word. And we pray, Heavenly Father, and thank thee that thou hast given us these instructions in which we can find our salvation for our souls through, that we would not disregard them as meaningless or as applicable to a different age or applicable to someone else, but Lord, that we would simply accept them for ourselves. We thank thee, Lord, for each brother and sister in this fellowship and each friend and each child whom thou hast given to assemble together here with us. And we pray, Lord, that our friendships and our bonds would grow in Christ Jesus. That, Lord, we would be attentive to the needs of one another. That we would, Lord, watch and look out for one another. That we would, Heavenly Father, truly be concerned for the spiritual welfare of each one of us. They would never discard someone as if they are to be put on a refuse heap. The ones, O Lord, whom thou didst come and die for, thou didst die for all mankind, thy creation, created in thy image, Lord, to worship thee and to serve thee, to find life in that eternal through Jesus Christ. O Lord, give unto us that love for one another that will be one that glorifies thee, Lord Jesus. We pray, Heavenly Father, that thou would bless us as we have assembled together. Keep us, Heavenly Father, for we know that the evil one is ever so sly and cunning. But yet, Lord, we will be found in his entrapments when we let the shield of our faith down. When our faith diminishes, our love diminishes, and where the glow of love, O Lord, is quenched, the tongue becomes unruly. Everything, Lord, follows where we will say that we serve thee and worship thee, and yet, O Lord, our actions will prove otherwise. So may thy Spirit lead each of us and point us to our Savior Jesus Christ, who was kind and loving, but yet spoke the truths that will save a man from hell and its eternal damnation, and gives life through the words that Jesus spoke to those who were in sin and to those, O Lord, who were following him. Warnings were continually given of lives that will be snuffed out by evil, lives that will be tormented and tortured and so on, but yet the promise from our Lord Jesus that was that thou, Lord, art ever with us. May we not doubt that one moment, but may we praise thy name, for thou, Lord Jesus, alone art worthy. We pray all these things in thy name. Amen.
Dearly beloved, the brother prayed the very, very thoughts that drew me to this portion of Scripture. I don't know of any other Scripture that is more direct and to the point than James chapter 3. And I would like each and every one of us, beginning with me, to take this word and apply it to yourself. Oft times, let me be the first to admit, it's easy to say, oh, I wish so-and-so was here to hear this. Oh, I wish so-and-so would have heard that. No. What you and I hear this afternoon, take it from the Almighty God. Led by the Holy Spirit. This is not an easy chapter. I don't know why the Lord laid it on my heart, other than I know that it applies to me. He starts off here and warns us, as he says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Or the heavier judgment. Now, I believe what he means by that is when we become domineering, if you will, if we become, we want to say what we want to say, and we want to be the leader of the conversation, and we want to say the things that perhaps we shouldn't even be saying, we are going to be held accountable for that. And that's what I believe he means in his very first verse. Because he says, for in many things we offend all. But he says, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. But what he's talking about here is the words that you and I use, the words that you and I say to one another many times can be very weighty. I think of a young couple, for an example, and when you're maybe wanting to get married and you're kind of interested in someone and you begin to talk with them and you're trying to get acquainted with them, and we put on our best behavior. And I know this is true because before I was converted, I used to date my first wife. And we was always the nicest words. We'd done the nicest things for each other. Open up the door when you get in a car and so forth, things like this. But when we got married, somehow that all changed. Why is that? We no longer put on this good front and this good words and this nice thing. What changed? But I can guarantee you, it does change. Because you see, when we're by ourselves or with our spouse or with our family, we have a little more tendency to be a little more free with each other and say things that, well, maybe it didn't seem so bad. But James says here, bridle the tongue, which is, as he says, very difficult. He used an analogy of putting a bits in horses' mouth, and he says, they obey us. We turn about their whole body, and we've seen that. Some horses, huge animal, and all he has is a little bit in his mouth. You pull on that, and he goes this way. You pull on this way, he goes this way. You can guide him and direct him just with a wee little bit of bit in his mouth. And that's what he's using as a comparison here. The tongue is the same way. It's a wee little member in our body. And that's what he's saying here. But he says, and then he refers it also as a ship and the helm that guides it and directs it, and even in fierce winds. Even so, he says, the tongue is a very little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And so what he's saying here, as little as our tongue seems to be, in comparison to our entire body, it can kindle a fire, be out of control. And he's saying nothing more than the words that you and I say at times. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to kindle a fire if we have control of our own tongue and our own mouth. And that's why I believe sometimes, this is why the Lord has spoke to me. I know who I am. The Lord knows who I am. And the Lord knows some of the words that come out of my mouth that ought not to be as a child of God. So I take this very personally, this portion of Scripture. He talks about everything can be tamed. Birds, serpents, sea, things in the sea hath man tamed. But he said, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. So that's a direct warning to you and I to watch your mouth, putting it bluntly. We don't say, watch your tongue. I know we taught our children when they started get into rowdy and get into fighting and saying things they ought not say, watch your mouth. Don't be saying that to your brother. Don't be saying that to your sister. I remember my mom telling me that very same thing. And when we got too out of early, she used to warn us. She used to threaten us. You know what I'm going to make you do? You're going to kiss your brother. You keep it up. I'm going to make you kiss him. Oh, that was taboo. I did not want to do that. And as a reason, I zipped it many times because I didn't want to kiss my brother, especially as I was upset with him, mad at him. You know what I'm saying? So that was one of the ways that my mom taught us to watch your mouth. Don't say things that you shouldn't be saying. And that's exactly what the Bible is teaching us. That's exactly what James is teaching us here. Because he says, therefore bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So you see, we come Sunday morning, we bless God, we pray, we sing, we worship, we fellowship one with another. What about when we go home? What about when we meet our colleagues at work? We don't exactly like that dude. And he's totally against you. And you don't even like to be around him. Do we watch our mouth? Do we say things that, good morning, it's nice to meet you, I'm glad to see you? Or we just skirt the issue, head around the way, and don't even address the issue. You see, these are the kinds of things that are real to life. And James is saying, no. No. Bridle your tongue. Bridle your tongue, and you won't have that problem. Makes it sound easy, eh? No, it's not. And God knows it's not. And that's why he warns us. And James does an excellent job of this, warning you and I as brothers and sisters and friends of the truth. And so if we plan on blessing the Lord, then we don't turn around and curse and use. And I think of the scriptures, and I'm not sure where it's written, where it talks about speaking evil of your brother. Excuse me? Who speaks evil of their brother? Maybe I ought to ask, who don't speak evil of their brother? How easy is that? How easy it is to when someone does something and you know it, you don't like it, and it wasn't exactly right, and you get together with your spouse or your family or someone else, and did you see what he did? And that he should have never done it, and he did. And you're speaking all kind of evil things about that individual. And the Bible says directly not to speak evil of your brother. And yet the mouth goes blah, 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 right on and on. Don't even think of it. Don't even know where the reference is that it says don't speak evil of your brother. This is what the Bible's teaching us, you and me. This is what we need to recognize, what God is trying to tell us. Does the fountain send forth the same time sweet water and bitter? No, impossible. Don't happen. And so the tongue should be the same way. Don't talk nice to me and talk nice to me. Turn around and talk bitter and evil things to me when you get away from me because you didn't like what I said or some what I did. This is what it's saying. Putting it bluntly, this is what the Lord's trying to teach us. And how easy sometimes it is. Can a fig tree, brethren, bring olive trees or vines, figs? So can no fountain yield salt water and fresh. So you see, he's using this analogy for us to grasp and understanding the meaning that what use your tongue and how to use it. And that's to worship and glorify God and not to curse, not to speak evil, and so on and so forth. Because he says here, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him eschew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. So what does that mean? How do we, out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom? How do we do that? It's with your tongue. That's the only way we can express the wisdom that we have is with our tongue. You know, if I think all kinds of things, I think of the scriptures, and I know the scriptures, and it races through my mind, and I don't say a word, my conversation is nothing. It don't mean a thing. It's when I show and begin to talk and begin to use my mouth is when the truth comes out, and then that's what identifies me, whether it's a fig tree or whatever it is. It's not bearing the fruit that it should when I'm not careful with what I say. And this is exactly what he's saying here. And this is why he said, if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And that's how easy sometimes that becomes. Bitterness in our hearts. Oh, none of us want to admit to that for sure. We wouldn't have any bitterness. But sometimes you hear the conversation of some people and you want to tell me you don't have no bitter? Excuse me? And you ought not to be saying what you're saying if you have no bitter in your heart. Because the words come out. And that's why we read in Matthew. I want to read that to you. Matthew chapter 13. No, I'm sorry, chapter 12. It says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. This is the weightiness that James is talking about, why and how we should watch our tongue. Because we're going to give an account of every word. Now, I can't even think back this past week some of the words that I might have said. You just don't. But God is keeping record. God keeps account of all this. And one of these days, we're going to give an account of the things that you and I said to whoever. We need to guard our mouth. We need to guard the words that we say. And this is what I believe is the Bible is trying to teach us here this afternoon. Because he says, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthy, sensual, and devilish. We can read in Romans, where the Apostle Paul talks about carnally minded. Because he said, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you see, what he's saying, we're not to be carnally minded. And that's why we say some of the things that we do, because the carnal mind allows it. What comes out of the heart, that's what comes out of the mouth. That's what Matthew is teaching us there. That's what James is saying. And so the Apostle Paul writes here in the Romans, if you're going to be spiritually minded, it's going to be death. And sometimes we say the things that we say, they are not spiritually led. Let's be honest with each other. Be honest to your own self. They're not what the Spirit leads. And that's the thing that you and I have to guard against all the time. To be carnally minded is death. And so easy, so often, it's so easy to fall into the carnality of this life. And we got to guard it, especially with our words that come out of our mouth. We got to remember that the words that come out of our mouth begin at the heart. They begin with a thought. Your words, when you say something, most generally are thought first. And oft times, if they're not, rest assured they will be the wrong things to be saying. Because there was no thought behind it. You just run off at the mouth and then, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Yes, maybe you shouldn't have. You know why you said it? Because you didn't think of it. You just said it. How easy. That is so easy. Done. Number one, guilty. I guard against it all the time. So, he says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So he warns us. This wisdom descendeth not from above, it is earthly and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. And that confusion, always, without exception, comes from words. Comes from things that we say. That's how people get confused. Maybe we didn't say them, but maybe we got an email, or maybe we got a text from someone. It's the same thing. It's exactly the same thing if it comes out of our mouth. Because you see, it's in our heart. And we put it in a text form, or we put it in an email. It doesn't make any difference. Maybe it isn't our personal tongue, but it isn't in our heart, it's in our mind, and it's down on paper, or it's down on our screen. Ought not to be. Things that may be evil, that are evil, speaking of our brother or our sister. And so you see, this is the day and age in which we live. We need to be very careful. We need to guard at all times the things that we say. That they're not envy and strife, that they're not from the world, they're not earthy, as sensual and devilish, as he says here. But he says, the wisdom that is above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated. So you see, our words can be acceptable. Our words can be to encourage, to talk love, to show interest, whatever the words may be. This wisdom, he says, is from above, and it's pure, and it's peaceable, and it's gentle. See, this is the way the leading of the Holy Spirit is within us, if we're being led by the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't give us something that is not peaceable. Never will. He will always address us with peace, with love, with gentleness, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's the leading of the Spirit in our lives. That's how we should be directed. If, in fact, we are willing to obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, if, in fact, we don't want to become carnal-minded, and if, in fact, we are spiritually minded at all times. That's the direction that this scripture is pointing us to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. To guard our tongue, to guard what we say to one another or to whoever. And so, as he goes on to say, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Every one of us want to have the peace of God within our hearts. When you and I begin to speak evil of our brother, speak evil of someone else, the peace of God escapes us, and escapes us quickly. Satan will see to that. And so when we can't quite understand why I can't seem to have the peace of God within my heart, think back on the words that you may have said to someone. Were they devilish, or were they peaceful, gentle, and easily entreated? We can examine ourselves. We must examine ourselves. We must look at the scriptures and know what God intends for us, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to talk, and to look at our heart and see, where is my heart? Is my heart wanting to bring out evil things? Or is my heart wanting to bring peace and joy and love toward my fellow man, towards my brother? All of these things have weigh very heavy on the words that we speak on our mouth, on our tongue, if you will. And even though it's a very little member in our bodies, it can kindle a very large fire. And it also can bring us peace and joy and comfort one with another. Peace with God first. Peace within our hearts. And peace with one another. And if we learn to love the Lord the way he wants us to love him, with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, we will have a better tendency to guard what we say to whoever. But dearly beloved, may God speak to your heart, lay it upon us, and as we depart one from another, carry these words, ponder them on your heart, and follow the scriptures. Amen.
First verse that we read together in this chapter speaks directly to teachers, to those who preach, that there is a greater condemnation for me if I tell you not to do something and I'm doing it. There was an open, in the synagogue, there was an open form of teaching. Everyone was able to get up. And the apostles used that to their advantage. And I'm sure that there was some amazing teaching going on. But along with that also, you had others who perhaps didn't belong there, who didn't do the things that they said. We are called here that if we are to tell someone something and do it ourselves, we're condemning ourselves. That's serious. But it doesn't change for any of us, because it tells us later in the verse about hypocrisy, about being, you know, the wisdom that is from above is pure, it's peaceable, it's gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The priest told Jesus, he wrapped his own tongue around a solemn oath at that time. He said, I adjure thee by the living God, tell us, are you the Christ? He said, thou hast said. And for those words, he condemned Jesus to death. But he ignored the lies that were coming at Christ by the false witnesses completely. ignored those things. The tongue. He tells us here, if any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Don't think you have control. Don't think that I can stop, because there's a fallout. If you tell me what you think of me at that moment, there's a fallout. That when the nuclear bombs were dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima, millions, I don't know how many, 100,000 died instantly. But there was a fallout from that. And it continued. And people continued to die from the fallout of that. A lie is no different. The tongue is no different. There's a fallout. When we say things, when we do things, there's a fallout. The danger, or it continues to go on and on. You can't pick that back up. So it tells us, how do we do that? How do we subdue the tongue? Only with Christ. That's what will make me perfect. Christ will. Christ will make me perfect. As was mentioned in the prayers also, it's about our thoughts. I can think, I'm not going to say, and then sometimes we blurt something out, right? And we say, that's why the saying is, bite your tongue. Stop. But if it's in your heart, it's going to come out somehow. So the way we control our tongue is to control our heart. And the heart can only be controlled one way. The cross. Give me a new heart, Lord. And he promised he will. Moses says, you rebels, he tells them, you rebels. He goes, and about getting water from the rock. And for those words, the fallout was he was not going to enter into the promised land. We think, that's harsh. Moses led those people through all those years. He was so loving to them. He prayed that he would be removed from the book of life so that they would be saved. And for his words, for failing to glorify God, he says, you will not enter into the promised land. On earth, Canaan. We can see in the transfiguration on the mount, when Jesus was transfigured, we see Moses' place. But dear ones, we are called here to watch. Guard it. Not, okay, I'm not going to say what I'm thinking, but don't think what I'm thinking. Call on the Lord if my thoughts aren't good. Call on the Lord. Confess your fault. Tell him, and he will help. Submitting ourselves unto him will give us the power over the poison that is in our body. So, dear ones, may we take these words to heart and truly submit our hearts unto the Lord Jesus, who makes us, yes, he makes us into a perfect man. May God bless his word upon our hearts. Amen.